Welcome one and all to episode 413 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. And this episode, we welcome Jeremy Weltman back. And we combine the reviews of 2 months. We do March and April of 2025, all in this episode. We go over 8 weeks worth of album releases. Up next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
All right, March and April, all in one wrapped up episode. We may do things this way a few other times during the year. I didn't release any episodes in April, not because I didn't want to, just couldn't. Either didn't have a voice, was sick. Jeremy had, he mentioned it during the 1989 episode that his father passed away. He also had some other family issues come up. And as much as I would love to make podcasting my full-time gig or something related with podcasting in 2025, after starting this in 2009, so it is going to be 16 years in September, actually. And actually, June is when I started podcasting on my own. It's cool to see that Mark Striegel is doing stuff again with Talking Metal. He's releasing an episode once a month. I do appreciate immensely that he gave me a shout out during one of the episodes. Not gonna lie to you guys, you know, for a long time, did a lot of work for Mark behind the scenes, did a lot of stuff with his Patreon. And, you know, it's the unseen, the ghost contributor behind the scenes and stuff. Wish some of that could have carried over more here, but is what it is. And I always have my ups and downs here where I talk about how, you know, it doesn't bother me that this isn't bigger. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I am appreciative that you right now are listening to this episode. There's millions of other shows out there. There's millions of other podcasts out there. There's millions of other forms of entertainment, but you're listening to this. Hopefully some of the albums that we discuss help turn you on to music that you like. I don't expect you to like everything. I know that for a lot of people that come here and listen to a lot of the same stuff that is featured on the show, especially my taste in music isn't always lined up with what Jeremy likes, for example, or what other people that come to this show or similar shows are into. It's all subjective. So, I mean, whatever you like, whatever you listen to that you enjoy out of what we discuss, I'm glad that you take the time to do so. I want to send a quick shout out to all of my patrons. I want to send a shout out to you guys, anyone that's sharing this, anyone that is passing this on to your friends, anyone that's saying, hey, you know, I found out about so-and-so on the Signals from Mars episode. Now, I don't know about that one host, but that Jeremy guy, he, you know, stuff he's picking is really the stuff that that I'm into. So that's cool. I'm fine with however you guys take in what we talk about and hope you enjoy most of it. How about that? In any event, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and we are going to move along into the episode, folks. Help share, help spread the word. See ya, here we go. Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and joining me is Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Victor. We had a very lovely day here, really sunny and warm here in the UK. So, yeah, looking forward to talking about some metal with you.
Excellent. Just real quickly here, the video just went black. So, anyway, we will, I don't know if you want to try to reconnect. If not, we could just go for it as is.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened. I'll try and reconnect you, have a little chat for 1 second, and I'll come back in.
Okay, sure. So, we're going to be doing 2 months worth of album reviews here today. There was just a bunch of things going on due to illnesses and family issues that prevented us from doing these shows, the previously scheduled show anyway. And we're here to make it up with 2 months. We're going to be doing March and April today. So hopefully you guys do enjoy the episode. Jeremy is trying to work out some technical difficulties here, and hopefully we can get all that sorted out in a second. There we go. All right, Jeremy is back. Hey. Awesome. Yeah. So, as I was mentioning,
not quite back in black, but back, just back.
Not quite back in black. We want to keep you still visible here. So, we're going to go back to March here. And there was a lot of stuff that I listened to anyway. So let's go back to March 7th. We had new releases from Christian Mistress, Edge of Paradise, Mind Wars, Raging Speedhorn, The Wild Hearts, Cryptosis, Destruction, Grey Mountain, Caballero, Void Chaser, Sacrosanct, Overdrivers, Sculpture, Amber Asylum, Deathless Legacy, Rainbows Are Free, Spirit Box, Whitechapel, EP from Crown Magnetar, and Reconciler, reissues from Disturbed and Alter Bridge. Jeremy, what did you listen to?
Yeah, well, I started off listening to Glory or Nothing by the band Overdrivers, sort of an AC/DC Airborne type of band. Didn't take itself too seriously. They also hail from Australia, as it happens. Perfectly acceptable hard rock. The production was good. It's just that they don't really write very good sort of hooks or melodies. Not only does the songwriting let them down a bit, but it's also a little bit pedestrian as well. So it's all a little bit of a shame because I was hoping it would be, you know, somewhat better than that. I listened to Night Wolf by the British extreme metal band Raging Speedhorn. That was a lot better. This is actually studio album number 7 for the band. I'm not always kind of won over by this type of music, to be honest, including the vocal style, but it did have, you know, a good edge to it. The rhythm kind of reminds me of bands like Clutch. The guitars sort of, you know, they bite down quite hard. And, you know, it was a considerable sort of effort made, really. Decent songs, just let down a little bit as well by the sort of similar pace to the songs and the riffs on, you know, on some of the songs. So again, I couldn't really pick it as my album of the week. I moved on to Silver and Gold by Rainbows Are Free on the Ripple label. This is a heavy stoner band from Phoenix. You kind of know what you're going to get, you know, from that kind of band. It's a decent listen. But I did have a few misgivings about the vocalist's abilities. So again, not going to choose that one. So I was kind of a little bit lost as to what I was going to choose. But I kind of went for the deluxe edition of One Day Remains, the debut album by Alter Bridge. You know, I can't say I've ever been a big fan of the band. I did actually fall asleep one afternoon watching them at Download Festival, as it happens. But I definitely think this album is worth a revisit. You know, some really good songs on it. it shows that the band, you know, really sort of deserved to go on and get some success. You know, you could kind of tell that it's very polished, has a nice balance to it. It mixes up ballads and hard hitters. There's some real sort of decent riffs there from Mark Tremonti. And the other thing about it is that Miles Kennedy is a younger man. So I think that he's not as nasally as he became sort of later on in his career as well. So, you know, the final track as well really ends it nicely with, it's actually called The End Is Here. Very solid track, very solid album. And I'm afraid I'm just going to have to pick that one as my album of the week.
Okay. That to me actually is their best album, their first album, I think. I do think that after that first album, a lot of what they released just became very samey. And there's just a lot of stuff that was like overly polished, too kind of radio friendly. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, okay. So I listened to Children of the Earth from Christian Mistress. Not bad. A throwback kind of new album type band. Listen to Mind Wars V or 5. That's a lot more modern sounding. Listen to The Wild Hearts, Satanic Rites of the Wild Hearts. It's not a bad album. The problem for me with this album is it sounded more like a Ginger solo album. I have no problem with it being all over the place, but there's like 2-3 really strong songs and the rest is kind of like scattered ideas where it's like, you know what, if had he have worked with someone else on this or worked as a group effort, he probably would have been able to get something stronger out of it. I don't know. And I also listened to Edge of Paradise Prophecy. They've switched over to Napalm. This is a little heavier than their last release, which was on Frontiers, but it's still along the lines of what you could expect from them. I really like the album. I really like a lot off of it. I will say that my album of the month or album of the month, yeah, album of the week is Spirit Box with Tsunami C on Pale Cord. I think it's a good progression by the band. There are a few songs off of this, specifically the I think it was the first single they released off of this, Soft Spine, which is something that I've listened to quite a lot these last few months. So that kind of edges it out over the Edge of Paradise album for me. But two very strong albums. You know, I could have gone with a favorite A and B for this week. So, cool. Let's move on to the 14th here. We had new albums from... Wow, I don't even know how to pronounce this. Desiderium, I guess. Black and Damned, Streetlight, Derision Cult, Thurnsin, third time's a charm, I guess. Soam, Warbringer, Dorothy, Ricky Warwick, Coheed and Cambria, Envy of None, Night Stalker, Sanhedrin, Stephen Wilson, and Temperance, reissues from Camelot, Mad Season. Live albums from John Anderson and the Band Geeks, Heathen, Jimmy Page, and the Black Crows, and Metallica. The Metallica and the Jimmy Page and Black Crows are really reissues. The Metallica is just a vinyl version of a DVD of theirs from years ago. And compilations from Simon McBride, Red Fang, and the all-encompassing Ozzy Osbourne See You on the Other Side 2.0, which is essentially everything he's released, but on vinyl. I listened to a lot of music for this week. What did you listen to?
Yeah, well, I didn't listen to Ricky Warwick, but actually I would have listened to Ricky Warwick.
Warwick, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Be your British listeners out there.
Yes.
No worries. Right. No worries. Anyway, what my question is, have you ever wondered what it would be like if Ozzy and Black Sabbath decided to jam at his final gig at Villa Park? Because if you did, you know, not playing Black Sabbath songs, but just jamming, wonder no more, because listen to Return from the No Point of No Return by Nightstalker. It's a stoner band from Athens in Greece. And I think actually I might have heard them before a little bit in passing, but it's definitely one that I'm going to do a deep dive into in their other albums, because, I would actually suggest play the title track first and you're immediately transported into a Sabbath time machine, possibly with Zakk Wylde rather than Tony Iommi. But in any event, sit back, enjoy some really top-notch stoner on this. It was really good. I'm not exaggerating to say this was probably the best stoner album I've heard in a very, very long time.
Wow.
There's some really good brooding songs on it. It's actually their ninth studio album. This is why I said I wanted to go back and listen to, you know, some of their earlier stuff. And I haven't done that yet, but I'm hoping to over the next few weeks. It gets a really big thumbs up from me, that one. It wasn't my album of the week, but it was very, very close. I actually moved on to the traditional thrash of Warbringer. I think possibly you've heard this one as well. Wrath and Ruin, the seventh album. I enjoyed it as I would any similar thrash band, but I couldn't help thinking it sounded a little bit like a sort of poor Death Angel with slightly inferior production quality. It had its moments. The CD also comes with a bonus disc of live tracks that, you know, fans will enjoy, recorded across Central Europe in 2023. It does sort of get over the power and the strength of the band, the live stuff. You know, I thought the live stuff was really good. So a very impressive live act. Was, you know, the album itself I thought was a little bit so-so. But I guess really no surprise to you that my album of the week goes to Sanhedrin, the New York three-piece. You know, it's their fourth album. I think it's possibly their best album. It's called Heat Lightning. You know, the bass player and singer Erika Stoltz gives the band, you know, a real trademark sound with her, you know, sort of unique vocals, really. Very apt for this type of band. There's also, I think, a bit of an edge to this album that they haven't had before. You know, it's sort of aptly illustrated on the very fast tempo Above the Law, the brooding King of Tides, and the metal stomp of High Threshold for Pain. So I just think, you know, it's another winner for me, and it was very easy for me to pick it as album of the week.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I listened to a lot of stuff this week. I listened to The Warbringer, as you mentioned. Good album, in line with what they normally put out. But I think gets kind of samey after a while. I think what separates some of the albums is that they've had more songs where they've switched up tempos and things where it's kind of kept me a little bit more engaged. It's not a bad album. And if you just want a full on thrash album, this is as good as you're going to get, you know, without looking at one of the classic bands. I listened to the Dorothy album. She's on Jay-Z's rock label. I don't remember it right now what the name is. The album isn't bad. It's just a little too radio friendly for me. There's a track with Slash on it. She's got a great voice. I just wish that they would gear it more towards a hard rock audience as opposed to a radio rock audience. I think she's got, again, great vocals, but it kind of crosses over into like country and some pop rock in certain places. And I like pop rock, but I just wasn't expecting it from this. So it wasn't what I was looking for. The Ricky Warwick album. I'm a huge fan of the Almighty. Enormous fan of the Almighty. I like something off of all of their albums. This album is a huge letdown to me. I could put this next to the Robin McCauley album with what I was expecting and what I got. God bless him. You know, he's doing what he wants to do. But again, an angry Ricky is what I want. I want an angry, angst-filled, you know, Ricky Warwick, which is what he was in The Almighty. With this, it just kind of feels like Black Star Riders light. You know, the and there are some things on here that are just way too poppy for me. Like way too, the track that he does with Lita Ford. I listened to that. I was like, wow. You know, I'm not a huge Lita Ford fan. I'll admit that. And I was thinking, how's this going to pair up? I hope it isn't Close My Eyes Forever Part 2. It wasn't. But it's still, you know, let's get a few plays on radio out of this one type of a deal. So it was kind of a letdown for me. Coheed and Cambria completely lost me as well. The Sanhedrin, I think, is very good. Just to give you guys a little something different, I recommend the same Sanhedrin as well. But I really like the new Envy of None album called Stygian Waves. This is Alex Lifeson from Rush, his new band, second album with a female singer. This is a little less experimental. It is experimental, but not as much as the first album. It seems like they've found more footing. There's a little more rock, quote unquote, to it. But by saying that, I don't want to alienate anyone. This is geared more towards 90s alternative rock. It's geared more towards like what Garbage was doing in the mid 90s, late 90s type of a deal. If you're into that, I would definitely recommend you check it out. I think it's a change up where, listen, you could hear me bitch about things being too poppy, and you may listen to this and say, well, this is all full of pop. Okay, I guess, but it isn't a rock band trying to chase a fad, in my opinion. It's somebody trying to touch on something that was popular at one point, as opposed to just putting out something that was slick modern production to try to get on radio now. I think Alex Lifeson doesn't care about getting on the radio, and he's trying to write music based on the members that he has in the band and trying to leverage them to the maximum of their ability personally. So if you're into that, you're into 90s alt rock, if you're into Garbage, check it out. March 21st. Again, we're still recapping March. We'll get into April in a second here. We've got two more weeks of March to go. New albums from Imperial Triumphant, Bloodywood, Dead Bars, Pop Evil, Catla, Cradle of Filth, Dissocia, Aversid, Cabal. Actually, Cabal came out this month. I just listened to it. Orc, O period, R period, K period. Not sure what it stands for. Goddard, Lordy, Withersake, Nidvind, Izzy Rain, Foxy Shazam, Gates of Hell, and Spirit World. EPs from Big Big Train, reissues from another release from Big Big Train, and a Finnish band on Ripple, Visgard Sudden, and the Rush 50 compilation. Well, we had Ozzy releasing absolutely everything on vinyl the previous week. We had Rush do it the following week. So, Jeremy, what did you listen to for this week?
Yeah, it was a bit of a difficult week for me, this one. There weren't that many albums for me to personally get my teeth into. I began with the self-titled debut album on the independent label Fixxxd by Izzy Rain, or Kristen Matzkoff, as she's otherwise known. a singer and producer with pink hair and a modern, if somewhat generic, sound, mixing sort of, you know, Madonna with Enter Shikari, I think, among other bands. Actually, it wasn't a bad listen at all. I kind of enjoyed this. You know, I could have done without some of the growly add-ons that she does, but she has a decent voice. She can write a good song or two. There were definitely three or four on there that I liked, possibly more. They sort of hooked me in with a sort of mix of poppy metal, quite high quality. So that was, yeah, that was okay. I moved on to Hell Dorado by Spirit World, the US metal band that was formed in 2017, described themselves as sort of death western, a genre that I think is very apt as it kind of captures what you get. It's a bit of an eclectic mix, actually. There are some sort of thrash elements on it as well. You can sort of think maybe Testament on the tracks like No Vacancy in Heaven and Oblivion. There's sort of a kind of a rasping Chuck Billy type vocal on there and very sort of pummeling guitar lines. But then on songs like Birdsong of Death, the band show, you know, sort of mellow and definitely sort of more of a Western theme. It's very interesting type of album. I'm not totally sure, you know, I was really into it, but definitely one to give another listen to, and definitely one for the listeners out there to maybe pick up and see for themselves. So really, for that reason, I've kind of opted for a safer choice as my album of the week. I've picked the Swedish band Gotthard with Stereo Crush, their 14th studio album since 1992. I mean, I wouldn't say this is a, you know, particularly favorite band of mine, but I guess they kind of do Bon Jovi and Def Leppard soft rock better than those two bands today, you know, with a sort of, you know, kind of a mix of hard rockers and whimsical ballads. But, you know, who doesn't do it better than Bon Jovi and Def Leppard? You know, what you get is you get a great singer, you get a fine ear for melody and chorus. There's a decent reworking of the Beatles song Drive My Car. It's heavier than the original. It's kind of true to its roots, so it's you know, it's well worth a listen. Clearly a band that's been influenced you know, by the Beatles, because there's another track on it about a student road trip called Liverpool. This won't obviously appeal to real metal fans out there, you know, the real hardened fans, but I thought it was a good listen, and it's going to be my album of the week.
Did you say Swedish or Swiss?
I said Swedish.
They're Swiss.
They're Swiss. Okay. I got my Swiss Swedish mixed up.
Yeah,
sorry.
No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're like you're saying, they're in the vein of like Heat or Eclipse or someone like that. Yeah,
similar. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I listened to a bunch of different things this week as well. Listened to the Imperial Triumphant. Been wanting to get into that, but we've got enough bands with masks, folks. and not even in a Slipknot type of way. I mean, I interviewed Sermon 2 years ago at this point. Imperial Triumphant is a three-piece, very avant-garde, and a lot of like noise rock. Let's see what else. I listened to Poppy Evil's What Remains, very radio friendly, so really not my thing. Cradle of Filth's The Screaming of the Valkyries. I mentioned this when I posted one of the videos to Patreon a little while ago. This is probably thrashier than some of their previous releases, and they're one black metal band that I listen to. I can't say quite frequently, but I like stuff off of each of their albums. I do think that Danny Filth has a way of mixing in melodies and different things that others don't do. They're working on a project with Ed Sheeran right now, actually, who's a longtime fan of theirs. It's a cool listen. It's different from what they've done in the past. I listened to the Orc album as well. I would consider this a mix of like Led Zeppelin, Days of the New. I'm trying to remember how, oh man, a band that did a duet with, Lizzie Hale last year. And they were on that one, music, contest show that had Lizzie Hale and Gavin Rossdale and Alice Cooper and all these people picking different bands. They were the runners up. Damn, I don't remember the name of the band. I could actually look it up real quick. This is the most exciting part of the show, is having me search for things. Mercy. It is the Native Howl. There you go. All right. Native Howl. It's kind of in that vein. Kind of sounds cool. It's got more electric stuff going on than Native Howl does. I listened to the Izzy Reign as well. To me, she's trying to do what Poppy's doing. And like you said, it's not bad. It's just that I think Poppy does it slightly better. So she kind of fills that gap for me. And also I listened to the Animality opera by Foxy Shazam, who's gotten back together, New York band, if I'm not mistaken. And it was okay. I was expecting something a little bit more rock. That's how I'll put it. This is kind of bluesy. It's kind of experimental. It's not, and I'm not a huge fan of theirs. So, you know, there could be some diehards that say, oh, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. But my album of the week will be Bloodywood with New Delhi. They are the new metal band out of India. So it is New Delhi as in N-U. It mixes a lot of new metal aspects from the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. This is their second album, to my knowledge. A little bit more experimental. I do like the way that they do mix in some of their native music from India. So that, to me, is always something that sells me on acts that experiment like that. So yeah, that's what I would recommend. I know that I'm all over the place with what I listen to here and what I'm recommending, but trying to give you guys different flavors and different things to listen to. All right. March 28th. We had new albums from Vigil Hunter, Alliance, Genevra, Phil X and the Drills, Wet, Broken Love, Flesh Spoil, yeah, Severed Angel, Chiarosuko, Sick Puppies, Arch Enemy, Memphis May Fire, Telepathy, Sixth Sense, Lauren Babick, Uziel, Alien Weaponry, The Darkness, Death Haven, Donner. I already had. I will omit that. Delete. Masters of Reality, returning after a bunch of years. Savage Master, reissues from Black Sabbath, Paranoid High Fidelity Vinyl, compilations from Helloween with March of Time's The Best of 40 Years. And a new live album from New Model Army. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, I began the week on a good note. I checked out the latest solo album from the veteran keyboardist Don Airey, Pushed to the Edge. A really great start to the week. It was a fine blend of keyboards, sort of embellishing songs rather than sort of a seemingly annoying afterthought. I mean, you know, the Deep Purple Ivory Tinkler, he's going to be 77 in June. Just take that in. But he shows no signs of slowing down. He's got that sort of, he's got a really good backing with him. He's got Simon McBride on guitars. He's got Carl Sentence and Mitchell M sharing the vocal duties. And he's also got, you know, he's got the greatest gift to 70s hard rock. He's got the Hammond organ, which he's pummeling away. It's actually an A100 for the purists out there. I have no idea what that means, but but you know, that's what he plays, and it sounds fantastic. It's I mean, it's a solo album, and it's you know, there's some variation on it. There's a little prog here and there. There's some Arabian influence. There's a touch of keyboard, sort of Queensryche in there, in the song Rock the Melody. Not every song will be to everyone's liking, of course, right. But you know, no expense has been spared on the mixing, the production. Really fine listen. You know, if you like old school sort of 70s rock, you're going to enjoy it a lot. And I did. So then I moved on. I checked out the new album by The Darkness called Dreams on Toast, a really nice pun on that old British favorite. You know, I enjoyed the first two albums that they did. But like sort of Guns N' Roses, I think they faded a bit after that, you know, that the joke wore off, I guess. But I think there's a certain maturity on this album. You can sort of, if you can describe The Darkness as a maturing band. I mean, there's some, you know, more laid-back Queen influences that I'd say than the hard-rocking AC/DC on this one. And I don't think that's a bad thing. They're quite good at it, as it happens. It's just that, you know, the Darkness for me were a sort of a jokey band, sort of intended to make a bit of fun and make rock fun. And that's what they did when they sort of burst on the scene about 20 years ago. And this album doesn't do that. So you've got to sort of get your mind around that. They do have the daft lyrics, of course, and they just aren't as ridiculous as they used to be. So, you know, if you really want something more ridiculous, we'll all wait for the new Spinal Tap film that's coming out, you know, later this year. So that was okay. But I guess it was really a toss-up for me whether to go for the Don Airey album as my album of the week or this one, which I'm going to pick. It's Dark and Dangerous by Savage Master. I must admit, this was a new band to me, but they'd actually formed in 2013 by Adam Neal on guitar and the vocalist Stacey Savage, and they come from Louisville in Kentucky. What you kind of get is a sort of evil and occult-inspired metal, sort of very much in the, you know, the new wave of British heavy metal style. So there was a lot for me to like, at least. It was kind of paced quite right. It's heavy enough without being sort of over the top or amateurish. And I kind of like the female vocalist as well in that style. So there was a lot of ticks there. One or two songs, a little bit pedestrian, okay-ish, I guess, but good listen overall. And if you kind of like sort of Joan Jett, Suzy Quattro, Rock Goddess, Girl School, you know, that sort of sound with the sort of heavy new album style, you're going to kind of dig this. So, yeah, I'm going to pick that one as my album of the week.
Cool. Sounds interesting. So I listened to a bunch of different things. I did listen to the Don Airey album, similar to what you said. Album does not disappoint. It's heavier than what I expected as well. You know, I think it might actually be better than what he's releasing with Deep Purple, to be honest with you, because it's a little bit more in the vein of what I'm into. So, yeah, I listened to the Bon Jovi guitarist Phil X and the Drills album. This album has been written over the last, I believe, decade or so. There's some tracks off of this that are really good. And there are others that are just not there. But I do like a lot of it. I listened to Sick Puppies, Wave the Bulls, a few tracks off of it that I really enjoy. But for the most part is radio rock. Let's see. I listened to the Def Haven album, Lonely People with Power. In vain with what they've done in the past. Some melodies, a lot of noise rock going on. Let's see. I listened to the Masters of Reality. I really like a lot of their earlier music. There's the first album that Chris Goss has released in a long time. And he... he's teamed up with Alan Johannes on this one, but it's a lot mellower than what I wanted from them personally. I like when they get into the deep, heavy, thick Sabbath-like riffs, because I think that they do it well, but it's just not present on this album. Let's see. I listened to Alien Weaponry's Tehran. It's a good return for them. I really enjoyed their debut album. I think the second album maybe they rushed to put it out and it wasn't as strong. I do think that this album, not as good as their debut album, but still has some really cool mix of new metal, some, again, tribal music from New Zealand, the Maori influence. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. So I really enjoyed that. But my album of the week is going to go to a band that I kind of gave up on and said, you know, I'm done with their heavy and growling. And then we get to the Eurovision-y happy chorus all of a sudden. It's Arch Enemy with Blood Dynasty. I really enjoyed this album. It's their first album without Jeff Loomis in some time. Joey Concepcion from Connecticut, who was on, who I interviewed a few years back, is now the second guitarist in the band. The musicianship is great. They've let Alicia Goose White include some more harmonies this time around, some more clean vocals, which I think helps, at least for me, brings more interest, or interests me more in the album. So that's why it's my pick. You know, I was thinking, oh, just another Arch Enemy album. And I was like, a lot of the songs really stood out to me and I really enjoyed it. So before moving on to April, I'm just going to recap here the albums that we picked for March 7th. Jeremy picked the One Day Remains 20th anniversary from Alter Bridge. I picked Spirit Box's Tsunami C off of Pale Chord. For March 14th, Jeremy picked, I didn't write it down.
Sanhedrin.
Yeah, Sanhedrin. How did I not remember that? And I picked Envy of None. For March 21st, Jeremy picked Goddard's Stereo Crush. And I picked Bloody Wood's New Delhi. And for the final week in March, Jeremy picked Savage Master with Dark and Dangerous. And I went with Arch Enemy Blood Dynasty. So there's a lot of good music that came out that month. There's always good new music coming out all the time. Hopefully this helps turn you on to some things that maybe you didn't give a shot, didn't know came out. Whatever the case may be, the idea is to have you check these bands out, and hopefully you drop some money and help some of these bands out as well. All right, let's move on to April. April 4th, we had new albums from LA Guns, Smith Kotzen, Elysian, Benediction, Lopan, Bleed From Within, Warfield, Frantic Amber, Buried Realm. Another one of these tongue twisters here. Caritzis, I guess. Moon Destroys, Luna Kills. Wow, interesting. Okay. Debt Neglector, Fractal Universe, Air Dawn Daggers, EPs from Scowl and Midnight Vice, reissues from Meshuga. Live albums from, I've got everything out of whack here. Live album from Rotting Christ. Okay. So, damn it. Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, so a bit of a whirlwind in April. I'm going to probably offend you right from the off because I listened to the LA Guns album. Their new album left me a bit cold, if I'm honest. I've never been that massive a fan of them. I always think that their songwriting is not really as good as it should be for me personally. But I did like the previous album. I think you remember we picked that in our top 10, and I really liked that one. But I couldn't get into this one. I found it quite boring, if I'm honest. I'm sure you're going to be commenting on it in a minute, so I'll leave you to elucidate on it and you know, that fill out the bits that I can't do because I really couldn't get into it at all. So I went into the Midnight Vice 7-track self-titled EP, lasts about 28 minutes. I thought that was pretty good. It's a, you know, sort of fast-paced 80s new album style homage by a band from Tampa, Florida. Nothing new on this, of course. You know, it's very sort of a well-trodden path. Usual rehash riffs, you know, a high-pitched singer, a band that's sort of guaranteed to give you an enjoyable night out in a pub or club. But it gets better as you go through the tracks. And I really like the track Mysteria. I don't know if that was a bit of a mistake on Hysteria by Def Leppard. Particularly enjoyable, that one. The record closer, White Witch, I liked. Very classic new album. So that was very good. All Your Angels by Scowl is probably going to be my pick of this particular week. It's the second studio album from the Santa Cruz, California outfit. Has its roots, I guess, in sort of Blondie, Nirvana, lots of alt rock and punk, that kind of music. There's 11 songs on it. They don't outstay the welcome. I think you sort of described it as an EP. You're probably right. As you can imagine, it's a sort of fast-paced, punky band. But what I like about this is the song construction. There's a real sort of variety to it, which you don't always get from these sort of punky short songs. I love the female vocalist, Kat Moss, throughout. I think she really sounds good, especially on Not Hell, Not Heaven. Great tone to her voice, really sort of molds well into the music. And so definitely gets my nod for album of the week. I enjoyed that one.
Cool. I'm surprised you didn't check out the Smith Carton album.
No, didn't. As it happens. There you go.
Gonna have to do some homework for the end of the year. Okay. So for me, I listened to the LA Guns. I think their last two albums are a bit weak, to be honest, and I'm a huge fan of theirs. This album has some good tracks on it, but there's just a lot missing on this album personally. The new Allegian album, the Ossuary Lens, came highly recommended. It is a death metal album and just not up my alley. Listen to Benediction, Ravage of Empires with John Setti, a.k.a. Giovanni Durst, formerly of White Wizard. And it's an okay album. Just gets kind of samey after a while. Bleed From Within, their new album. They're back after a bunch of years. Mix of guttural vocals with some clean melodies, and it's all right. Nothing new. Warfield with the old breed, classic thrash with a bit of a more like black metal type vocals to it. And I will have to say that my album of the week is Lopan, Get Well Soon. Lopan has members of the original version of Godsmack. It's got their original guitarist and drummer, if I'm not mistaken. At least they used to. The album, I mean, it doesn't sound anything like Godsmack. It's a little bit more in a stonery type vibe than Godsmack is. It's not bad. It's not anything revolutionary or anything new, but it's still my album of the week. April 11th, new albums from Epica, Cabal, Ye Brandish Privateers, Celestial Sanctuary. I think I may have mentioned that already. No, some other Celestial stuff. Okay. Elven King, Mesa, In the Woods, Tower, The Lord Weir Slough Fane, Samtar, Diabolizer, Rock Out, Exiled Hope. You get a kick out of all these mispronunciations. Anis Okay, Valahor, Black Map. Oof. Ryoji Shinomoto, Teen Mortgage, and reissues from Therminality and Swallow the Sun. What did you listen to, Jeremy?
That was a testing week, I think, for pronunciation, that one. Well, I'm going to give you a very easy one to pronounce. The Swiss band Rock Out was the first one I listened to. Let's call it Rock and Roll on Frontiers. I mean, it was okay. It's a sort of well-trodden path of Aussie-style stomping rock, very similar to Crocus. Sounded a little bit at times like the Dead Daisies, so you kind of know what you're getting on this one. You will hate the lyrics. I hated the lyrics as well, to be honest. But it was good time stuff. It just sort of works thanks to a professional edge, polished riffs, a decent singer, likable choruses. Just, you know, was something we've heard before, I guess. By the way, they rose to fame in 2022 on national TV, and they're very popular on the local festival circuit as well. You can understand that because they're enjoyable to listen to, but it was nothing new. So I listened next to Shining by Swallow the Sun, the Finnish death doom band. This one has sort of everything you might expect. It's very well crafted. I really like the haunting, clean vocals and characteristic melodies. But before you mention it, I know it was originally released in October. I think I reviewed it back then as well, very favorably as well. But this is a deluxe version, and it was in a week where I didn't, you know, have too many to pick from. So I thought I'd give it another listen. And, you know, sometimes it's good to revisit an old record and think, you know, was I right the first time? And yeah, I think it was, because it's a good listen. So I'm glad that I got to listen to it again. I then moved on to Beyond the Stars by Val Hallor. This one's a kind of melodic Eamon Amarth that is sort of described as symphonic folk metal from Brisbane in Australia. Whatever it is, it's actually not bad. Sort of really draws you in, even if it's not all that great. You know, some sort of quite heavy moments in there. There's a nice folk ballad with sort of Wishbone Ash overtones called Wayfinder. And overall, you know, I kind of listened to it all the way through and I thought, yeah, I'm quite enjoying it. If you ask me to pick an album of the week, I'm going to struggle on this one because, you know, all three were not really up to the usual quality. So I may go back to the Rock Out one with, you know, Let's Call It Rock and Roll, simply because, you know, it was easy to like, if you know what I mean. So I'll pick that one.
The lesser of all evils.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I listened to Cabal, Everything Rots, Death Metal. This week inspired me to propose some things to you earlier this week, because death metal isn't my thing. Elvin King, kind of the same, and the Lord Weird Sloth Fang, Traveler Supplement 1, the Ethereal Glades. Listen to that. That's it sounds like straight up 80s heavy metal influenced by new Wobbum stuff that was going on mid 80s coming out of specifically England. Not bad. But I'm going to go with the Italian band Mesa with The Spin. It's a little mix of everything, kind of gothy, kind of hard rockish. Maybe dipping its toes back in into like Love from the Cult, but with a female singer. So there's a lot of atmospheric stuff in there as well. It's a good listen. It surprised me. I posted a video on the Patreon to get to kind of wet everyone's whistle there. Get you guys to check it out. And that's my album of the week. For the 11th of April. Okay. Moving on to April 18th. We had albums from the Melvins 1983. I had this listed as coming out. I couldn't find it on streaming. So it's possible that this was just a vinyl only release or something like that. But I have to check out some of the promos that were sent to me if in the event that I do have it there. All right. So what else? Albums from Therion, Lick, Lauren, Lohimo, Sick and Beautiful, Extraminitus, Fractured Fairy Tales, Empyrean Sanctum, Dormant Ordeal, Super Heaven, and Myonique X Uroson. Okay, and reissues from what is this? Okay. I've got this mixed up here. All right, so I do apologize. So it looks like that last one was an EP. All right, so reissues from The Quill and from Sweet. Compilations from Madball, True to the Game, The Roadrunner Years. Okay. Jeremy, what did you listen to for this week?
Well, without wishing to sort of bring the tone down too much, this was a week in which my dad died. And so I didn't listen to anything at all in the week of it, you know, for obvious reasons. Listen to any music at all. I'd written down that later on I did listen to the Super Heaven album. It's an alt rock band in from Daylight, apparently, in Pennsylvania. I didn't know there was a place called Daylight. It sounds really good.
There's a lot of weird names in Pennsylvania.
There we go. I never really went back to listen to much. And I think partly it was because I looked at the list of albums and band names, and nothing really sort of shot out at me. And I'm kind of glad that week is kind of empty. So I'm going to leave it empty for me personally. Okay. And I'm going to let you say what you thought was good.
Yeah. So first of all, condolences to you for the passing of your father.
Thanks.
So that's, more than understandable. I listened to the Therion album, Beyond the Darkest Veil of Time. Not my thing. Symphonic metal. The Lauren Lohimo. This is another project that Frontiers has put together, similar to what they've done in the past with Russell Allen and with Bjorn. But this is their female version with the singer of Battle Beast and the singer of Smackbound. Again, just too melodic for me. It's Frontiers. It's your typical AOR Frontiers put together project. There's plenty of people that love it. If you like it, check it out. What else did I listen to here? I listened to Lick Necro. That is death metal also. But my album of the week is the Italian band. I've picked two Italian bands straight. Sick and Beautiful with Horror Vacui, I guess is how you pronounce it. That I guess is Latin or Italian or, a derivative thereof. But I dig this band. I really enjoyed their last release as well. It's a mix of industrial hard rock. If you like Rob Zombie with female vocals, it's kind of what you're getting here without as much grunting and with a little bit more searing vocals. Now we come to the 25th of April, which by far to me is the strongest week in April. I'm going to be honest with you. I think when I started listening to a lot of the releases for April, this month was kind of a letdown for me because I think every month previous to this has been fairly strong where even with March, there's a few weeks there where I was like, damn, what do I pick? There's several things here that are that are strong. So yeah, so this is by far to me the strongest week in April. I don't know if Edgar Winterson is telling us he's pregnant or just that he showed up late to the show. Edgar, welcome aboard, sir. All right, so there's a lot of things that came out this week. We had the new album from Ghost, new album from Machine Head, new album from Wednesday 13, Russ Ballard, Liv Christine, Elevatier, Heat, Caliban, Trick or Treat, Harem Scarum, Kardashev, Cadaver, Conan, Game Over, Tony Butler, Art Nation, Employed to Serve, Beholder, Cancer, Avenger of Blood, Deserted Fear, Landmarks, Akam Kara, Coffin Feeder, Bark, Phantom, Sacred Steel, Teaser Suite, and Ghost Seeker. Live albums from Klaus Schulze and Sirith Ungel. The legendary LA band Sirith Ungel, which my good friend Bob Nalbandian, the late great Bob Nalbandian, used to talk them up all the time. All right, Jeremy, what did you listen to on the 25th?
I remember listening to Sirith Ungel back in the day as well, a long, long time ago. I, first of all, listened to Ritual Supremacy by Sacred Steel, the German band. You know, it's a sort of mix of power metal, traditional, old school. The riffing I thought was pretty good on the whole, but, you know, very, very much like, you know, other German bands who do that sort of stuff. But a little bit let down, I think, by the songwriting, especially the vocals, which was all a bit evident on a track like The Watcher Infernal. You know, great riffs, but let down by the vocals. Now, this is interesting because I don't think we've ever had this, Victor, but we have a Dead Heat for Album of the Week. I've listened to these two albums I'm going to mention now for a good week or so, and probably a couple of weeks. I've bought one of them. I've got the other one on order. I cannot split them. I have gone down to a granular level, and I can tell you now that they both are 8.93276 points out of 10. So there is no way you can split them. So the two albums, of course, one of them is Skeletor by Ghost, which is a really good album. I'll come to that again in a minute. I'm sure you're going to comment on it as well. And the other one is Welcome to the Future by Heat, which, as you know, I really like Heat. I've liked their recent albums, and they're very different albums, both from the same country, of course, as well. I really like the Heat album because it's, you know, it's got all the same melodic stuff. It's got some killer songs on there. It's got ballads on there. You know, it's kind of what I would expect from a Def Leppard-y type, Bon Jovi type band, and they do it far better. And they even outdo Europe, I think, at times. So I really like that album. I bought it straight away. I've been playing it a lot. And, you know, I don't like every song, but then I don't like every song on the Ghost album either. But I do like the majority of both of those albums. Mm-hmm. Ghost album, I think, is not quite as good as Impera, the previous one, which I thought was their peak album for me. But I think there's some great songs on it. They've got great melodies. There's a reason why Ghost are very popular, and you only have to listen to their songs to understand it. They have a great commercial aspect to their music, but they, you know, the lyrics and their sort of the way they project those songs with that sort of mystique, you know, that sort of early Black Sabbath type mystique. They don't have to play it all very heavy, but they certainly know how to construct a song, construct a chorus. So yeah, those two albums for me, I can't split them. I'm not going to choose between my two daughters, so I'm not going to choose between those two albums. They are the very first Tie of the Week.
Okay. So I listened to Unatoned by Machine Head. This album is head scratching to me. What the hell is Machine Head doing in 2025? Machine Head has gone through different phases where they've put out albums where they've pissed their fan base off. A lot of people really liked the last album because it was super heavy. It was a return to them being super heavy. This album is them being heavy and then giving us that good old happy Eurovision chorus in the middle. They're copying bands like Architects and Bring Me the Horizon and stuff like that, to where they're trying to be hip and cool to the fun kid, to the young kids, is what they're doing. This album to me seems like, for everything that people bitched about the Burning Red with them pandering towards new metal and stuff like that, I find this to be worse. Because as much as they were trying to follow a fad there, some of those songs worked. These just don't work for me. There's a lot of cutting and pasting where we've got this great riff, we've got this heavy part. Let's paste something catchy in here. You know, unlike the Arch Enemy, where it's worked out and it's meticulous and it's layered, and there seems to be a blueprint behind it, the Machine Head just kind of doesn't work for me. Just my opinion. Russ Ballard, Songs from the Warehouse, The Hits Rewired. This is Russ Ballard. It's a 2-album release. The first album is all new material, and the second album is reworkings of a good majority of hits that he's written for other people over the years. The album is just not for me. It's just too 80s commercial rock for me. Too, like, kind of trying to fit in with Jackson Browne and Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that. And he's written a lot of good stuff over the years. But the reworks of some of these songs just don't work for me. He does Since You've Been Gone, of course. He does I Surrender, which was another Rainbow hit for Rainbow. He does Voices, which was a song that made it on Miami Vice, which I really like. That's like one of his only, like, quote unquote hits that he only did. It's been covered by other people, but not like New York Groove, for example, or God Gave Rock and Roll to You, which Ace Frehley and then Kiss made those respective songs more popular. The album isn't bad. It just bores me. It's just not my thing. What else? Caliban, just full on death metal, just not my thing either. This week does have a lot of other stuff in the vein of Heat: Trick or Treat, Harum Scarum, Conan, which I didn't check out, but that's a little bit more of like stonery with death metal type vocals. I didn't get a chance to check that out. That's something that I'll check out. The Beholder album is something I'll check out as well. But for me, it's funny, I've been deliberating since checking these albums out. Damn, I'm going to have a tie. So when Jeremy just said that he was going to have a tie, I said, heck yeah, I'm going to have a tie as well. So my tie, I'm going to go with the one that Jeremy already mentioned. It is Ghost with Skeleta. I think you're right on the money. The good tracks on here are great. The other tracks kind of remind me of their earlier material where it was more hit and miss for me, where Imperia was really good except for one track or two tracks. The album before that, I forget its name.
Meteoria.
That one is similar to Imperia as well, in the sense that there's two tracks that I kind of wasn't into, and I was really into the rest. There's still a lot of stuff off of those two albums that I listen to all the time. So Skeletor by Ghost is my one album of the week. And my tie. Man, did this surprise me. It is Wednesday 13 with Mid-Death Crisis. I've liked stuff that Wednesday 13 has released over the years. But this is probably my favorite album that he's released. It's just solid from beginning to end. It's one song after another. And it's like, nope, that one's as good as the last one. Is this one a skipper? Nope, this one isn't either. I really enjoyed this album. It really harkens back to the stronger parts of what he's released that's kind of drawn me to his previous albums. So I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those albums. So let's recap our picks for April real quick here. April 4th, Jeremy did Scowl with We Are All Angels. I did Lopan with Get Well Soon. Let's see. For the 11th, you went with Rock Out with Let's Call It Rock and Roll. And I went with Mesa with The Spin. That's Mesa, M-E-S-S-A. And for the 18th, I went with Sick and Beautiful with Horror Vacui. And then on the 25th, we both had two picks. We both went with Ghost and Skeleta, and Jeremy also went with Heat and Welcome to the Future. And my second pick was Wednesday 13 with Mid-Death Crisis. Do you want to touch on some of those topics that we went back and forth with real quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. So we usually just do one month at a time and we throw some topics back and forth at one another. And we had these way back in March. I do get that some of these may have maybe kind of old news at this point in time, but I think that they're still important enough to touch upon. So first up, we have a bunch of Judas Priest related things. Richie Faulkner let everyone know that he had to relearn to play guitar because he suffered a stroke. And he's also insinuated at the fact that there could be follow-ups to Invincible Shield and to Elegant Weapons sooner than later. The Elegant Weapons album may already be recorded, if I'm not mistaken. And the Judas Priest is something that's in the infant stage and they'll possibly work on it next year. So I would assume that we would be looking at a 2027 release for that. But man, Richie's been through a lot, from heart issues to now stroke. And for anyone that's ever doubted his place in Priest, I think that people have kind of let up on that with all the things that he's gone through and come back to the band and help the band carry on. So, Jeremy, what are your thoughts on all this stuff?
Yeah, it's quite interesting that Richie has said that he's struggling a little bit to play certain little bits because they've been on a massive tour, haven't they? They've played a lot of gigs, and they're playing again a few festivals over the summer in the UK. They're playing a place in Scarborough, just a sort of open air gig. And I think they're doing maybe one in London, and then they're playing some other stuff around the world again. So that they're constantly touring, which, you know, for a man who has been so ill and possibly finds a little bit of a struggle playing certain bits. So you do wonder whether he's getting a little bit of help technically, technologically. But, you know, full marks to Richie for keeping going because, you know, he's a great player, as we know. Really love his stuff. But talking about the albums, the two albums, it's going to be difficult to top those two because I really like those two albums. I think they're great. I've listened to Elegant Weapons a lot since it came out. I bought that one really good album, really good album. And so was the Judas Priest, as we know. You know, I think it was probably my top album of the year.
Right.
So, yeah, I just wonder how they're going to top it. They're going to have to do something a little bit different rather than just copying the, you know, the ones that have come out. And I just hope they don't. It's not a step back. Because you know you don't want to peak and then put out something that's not quite as good, but would be looking forward to hearing both. So you know, if the Elegant Weapons comes first, maybe this year, later this year, that'll be great. As we know, Judas Priest probably won't be till next year. But listen, they're old guys. Richie's not as old as the rest of the band, and you know, some of the older guys in the band, and we just have to be thankful that Richie and Judas Priest are playing, you know, still playing together.
Yeah.
And long may it continue. And I just hope Richie keeps well.
Yeah, I agree. And much to your point, I've heard that Andy Sneap has said no to producing or mixing other people's stuff at the moment. So that makes me think that he's just going to focus on the Priest stuff. And maybe they're feeling that pressure that Invincible Shield and Firepower. When Invincible Shield came out, remember, I didn't like Panic Attack initially because I was thinking, oh, you know, that intro sounds like Turbo. And then it sounds, you know, the chorus is kind of generic and this and that. And then that album won me over big time. You could, you could almost make like a greatest hits out of just those two albums, you know? Because you could combine both and really be the Twin Turbo album that we were all kind of looking for, you know. But yeah, it's good. It scares me on the one hand that it's a letdown, but after listening to Invincible Shield so much, it made me think, bring it on. You know, if they're going in this trajectory, and I believe in Andy Sneap. I believe in what he can do. He's got the Midas touch, and I think he knows what bands need to do. And I think that there's it's not a mistake that he's still in the band. I think that they've probably come to realize that, you know, he's more than just that guy helping us out on stage. He's now part of what makes their music continue to grow and continue to be relevant.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the time also, there were some rumors about possible Black Sabbath avatars and the possibility that the band could go virtual after this, this concert coming up this summer. Is Sabbath a band that could do that?
I think you can't say no. You've seen it, you know, we've seen ABBA avatars. We've seen Kiss are going to be doing this sort of thing. Listen, if a band is going to be finished completely, they can't do it anymore. Sabbath are playing this final concert. They're going to play five songs. And Ozzy is really struggling even to play those five songs. If the audience wants to go and see it, then it's fine to do it. I mean, you have to decide yourself whether you want to go, you know, whether you've seen Sabbath in their heyday, whether you've seen them live, whether you think it's worth it. As to question as to whether Sabbath should be doing it because they're popular enough to do it, I think they are. And I think there'll be an audience to see that kind of thing. I think there's other bands that could do it. I think, you know, maybe Motorhead, you could do one for them. I think just go ahead and do it. It's up to the audience as to whether it's a good thing. And I've heard great reports about the ABBA one. I'm sure the Kiss one is going to be fantastic. And I'm sure if Black Sabbath did one, it would be amazing as well. And we just have to accept that, you know, the band is no longer, and that's the only way you can see the band.
Do you think that these avatars would be just the Ozzy era? Would there be a chance of them doing, you know, some Dio related stuff as well?
It's a very good question. And I think the answer is no, because I think that Sharon will be organizing it. And I think as long as she's in charge of it, it won't be Dio. But I think if somebody else had the rights to do it, I think, yes, they might do both eras and it would be an interesting way of doing it. But I think she's only going to keep the Aussie band alive.
Right. Okay. Bon Jovi has announced a new tour. But will the ticket prices break the bank?
Yeah, they seem to be. Listen, the first thing to say is that Bon Jovi are nowhere near as good as what they were in the 80s, and many bands aren't. I'd love to see maybe a Bon Jovi with Richie playing, because that's the only band that I'd want to see. But I've kind of seen what he can sing like live, and it seems pretty dire. I'm not a huge fan of Bon Jovi, but I can see, you know, you'd pay a certain price to see a top band. You know, you pay $100 or 100 quid, you pay 150 maybe. But come on, you know, what are they charging for this? It was absolutely horrendous prices. I mean, there's some people out there that have got pockets. I mean, we've seen it recently with the Gene Simmons roadie. One guy paid, I don't know what it was. It was over $10,000, wasn't it?
$12,000.
It was over $12,000. I mean, listen, this guy doesn't care about the money. And so there's going to be a lot of people who go to a Bon Jovi gig. They'll pay whatever they want to pay because right. they've got the money. And that's what it is. But it's absolutely ridiculous. And I certainly wouldn't pay, you know, I pay 40, 50 quid to see Bon Jovi, and I don't think I pay much more these days.
Okay. I wouldn't even pay that, but
no.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
All right. And last topic here, David Lee Roth sees a reissue of his solo work. Does it hold up in your opinion?
Mm. You know what? Dave seems to be really enjoying himself. That's the first thing I would say. Every time I see him playing live and doing stuff at the moment, he seems to be really enjoying himself. And he's kind of reinventing himself. He kind of wants to play more gigs and play songs. And he's coming out with various songs and various stuff. And I think that's good because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who like Dave, a lot of people who like Van Halen. And, you know, as we know, Eddie's dead now. And you know, that he's keeping the songs alive in terms of Van Halen. And he also has his own stuff as well. And I liked a lot of his early stuff. Mm. I thought his solo albums, you know, the first couple of solo albums were great, but they have a bit of an 80s sort of sound to them, 80s sort of 90s sound. And maybe today they sound a little bit, you know, old. That's what I'd say in terms of the production or whatever. I think Dave should just do what he wants to do. I think, again, the audience will determine. Does it appeal to me personally? No. I've had enough of Dave Lee Roth. I don't need to see him. I don't need to see him live, and I don't need to see him again. I want to remember him playing in Van Halen or doing his first couple of solo albums. And I've got all that, you know, on vinyl. I've got it all on CD. I'll get those out now and again and really enjoy it because Dave was Dave in his heyday. I don't want to see an old Dave doing stuff now. So for me, he doesn't need to re-record. He doesn't need to re-release. He doesn't need to even issue anything. If he wants to play a few gigs, that's fine.
Yeah. At M3, he was looking like Elvis from one of his reunion specials there, all in black leather and with the handkerchief around the neck, with the four backup singers as well, handling the heavy lifting for a lot of the songs. But I got to say, Eat 'Em and Smile to me is on par with those classic Van Halen albums he was on. I would personally take that over any of the Van Hagar albums. Skyscraper, I think, is very strong as well. I think it got a bad rap back in the day. A Little Ain't Enough has its moments, and Your Filthy Little Mouth, which is the last one that's included in that box, is I've never gotten into that album.
No,
and that's your typical album that, to me, you pull it out once a year and say, now, why didn't I get this album? There's people that I know that like this. Let me check it out. And you start to listen to it. It's like, wow, this isn't good. You know, the lyrics aren't good. The guitar playing isn't as good as, let's be honest, Steve Vai, Jason Becker. You know, these are world-class guitarists.
Yeah.
Especially when those albums are recorded. So, in any event, we've covered a lot of material today. I do appreciate Jeremy coming on here and talking music. Like I said, it's important to get the word out for new music that's coming out, whether it's from bands that you love and don't know that they're releasing new music, whether it's a band you've never heard of and we've described them and you want to give them a shot, or even if it's something that we mentioned but we didn't even talk about what they're about. Sometimes you can check out the labels that they're on and kind of get an idea with what that label is signing. And there are other times where it's a crapshoot. So thankfully with streaming, you can check out as much of this stuff as you want. But I stand by what I said before. If you like something enough, fork some money over, support the bands. You know, find out, go to their websites, find out where they're selling their albums, and maybe you can't pick up a vinyl, but you can pick up a CD or a t-shirt or something along those lines, help them out. The greatest thing that I hear all the time is, my wife is going to kill me. I've spent way too much money on music this month, and it's all your fault. So I like hearing that. Their wives may, you know, put a brick in their pocketbook and hit me over the head one of these days, but is what it is. In any event, folks, thanks for listening. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Edgar Winterson, even though you showed up late. Thank you to all the people that jumped in and watched this show live tonight. I do appreciate it. And thank you to anyone that's watching or listening to this show after the fact on YouTube or Rumble or any of the other platforms where you can check this video version out, or if you're listening to the podcast version of this. Thank you so much for your support. We will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.